To the month 7 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of July to the 31st of July 2024. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the credit group. Firstly, Robert will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of July and will give a refresh on the core principles credit was built on. Next, George will show some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. We'll also be looking at our segments on our monthly reports and any updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it, with some updates on credit. Lastly, Patrick would like to talk about the Investable Intermediary app at the end of this meeting. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to Rob, who's a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Maria, and good afternoon, everyone. So for today's trade desk session, we will be looking at an originator involved in the beauty and fashion sector. They are an Irish-based client, and they've increased their presence in this market by using credit services. They joined the exchange back in 2020. They use our trade finance facility, which provides them with the ability to purchase supplies in bulk. And by doing so, they've been able to secure valuable discounts on these orders. They've made a name for themselves by focusing on clothing items, with a particular attention on denim jeans, which they retail to a loyal customer base both online and at trade fairs up and down the country. The company directors are known for their influential presence, and they boast over 500,000 social media followers. This online presence has allowed them to reach a wider audience, which has supported the expanding growth of the company. Both directors have demonstrated their commitment to credit, and they've both signed personal guarantees, which emphasizes the confidence that they have in their company's ability to generate sales. But it also mitigates potential concerns credit might have regarding non-payment. So by them putting their own financial stakes on the line, it shows they have embraced responsibility. It also sends a powerful message about the belief that they have in their products. Since their commencement, they have traded over 3 million euro worth of BETR creditor invoices. Credit pays suppliers on behalf of the originator, most of whom are based in Turkey, Italy, and Korea. The suppliers will then ship goods, with transport typically taking between 4 to 6 weeks. All sales are then processed via Shopify's online platform. They are monitored by the trade desk daily. We also have obtained assignment over sales receipts. So that means that all Shopify payments are transferred directly to a credit bank account, and those receipts are then used to settle the supplier invoices, which were paid originally by credit. So as part of the originator's aims to grow and strengthen their brand, they came to credit last year to share plans of launching a cosmetics brand. Trade Desk evaluated the business plan and carried out our due diligence on the manufacturers and the products. And we granted an increased facility up to 350,000 euro. And that was to fund additional orders and manufacture of the new beauty products. Similar to the fashion brand, credit pays the suppliers on behalf of the originator. And again, all sales are mandated to a credit bank account through the Shopify system. So we have complete visibility of all the sales. The originator wants to create a brand with a range of exceptional beauty products that are expertly crafted, environmentally conscious, and easy to use. But they didn't want to diminish the quality and wanted the products to feature professional grade formulations. So they spent about 6 months visiting various suppliers around the world and factories as well to ensure that they could create the bespoke beauty products specifically as they wanted. All the suppliers are blue chip cosmetic manufacturers in Italy, Germany, and Korea, as I said, who have a proven track record dealing with premium and luxury well-known cosmetic brands such as MAC, Chanel, Hourglass, amongst others. And I'm delighted to say that the originator launched the cosmetic brand in November 2023 with sales exceeding the forecasts. With the help of credit, they have brought new products to market over the last 6 months, and they plan to introduce further new products before the end of the year. The originator forecasts sales to continue to grow along with their brand. So as we've discussed in this briefing and previous briefings, it's important for us to showcase Credit's core principle of funding Irish companies. We take pride in being part of the growth stories and how our clients can seize on opportunities to grow their business, all with the help of our credit investor funds. So I will now hand you over to George. He's going to discuss some upcoming deals that him and his team on the deal desk are reviewing, and they're hoping to submit to the trade desk for execution in the future. So over to you, George.
Thank you, Robert, and good afternoon, everyone. As mentioned in previous briefings, we are proactively trying to attain leads from across the globe while putting a firm emphasis on quality through strict and thorough verification processes. In recent times, we have had a keen interest in commodity traders worldwide. One such company we are in discussions with is currently based in South Africa, and they specialize in comprehensive commodity trading services, catering to a diverse range of markets. Their expertise spans various commodities, including hard commodities, soft commodities, and energy resources. They leverage their extensive network and market insights to offer their clients competitive pricing and efficient transaction processes. They specialize in the trading of iron ore, chrome, manganese, and coal. The specific deal we are in discussions with them about involves them purchasing a large quantity of lithium ore from a supplier in Zimbabwe to then be sold to a customer in China. In addition to our interest in this deal, we are eager to discuss further opportunities that may arise with this company, as in addition to the commodity trade, they are also a licensed supplier and distributor of fuels. With potential deals in the pipeline for fuel commodities such as aviation gasoline, biofuel, diesel, petrol, jet fuel, and liquid petroleum gas. One very innovative company we are in discussions with is based in Ghana, and they manufacture drones. They are a leading provider of unmanned aircraft system solutions, including both vertical takeoff and landing and fixed wing aircraft. Their experienced team covers the entire, excuse me, development cycle of the drones, from the design and manufacturing to guidance, navigation and control algorithms, as well as flight testing and operations. Essentially, they buy carbon fiber raw materials, composite and finished electronic parts from suppliers in China to then manufacture that they sell to customers in Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Ghana. On the shipping side of the business, we are in discussions with a very interesting company based in Colombia, which is looking to purchase a tanker. This vessel will be used to transport gasoline from the Dominican Republic to Georgetown in the United States. This company has more than 18 years' experience in the oil and gas industry, and they specialize in the marketing of crude oil and refined and semi-refined products derived from petroleum. And they pride themselves in being driven to conduct their company in a socially, environmentally, and ethically responsible manner. They offer a wide range of services that cater to diverse market needs. Their expertise spans multiple sectors, including import and export. With a vast network of global partners, this company facilitates the import and export of goods across various industries. Their extensive experience ensures that products reach their destination safely and on time. Logistics and supply chain management. Efficient logistics are the backbone of a successful trade. They provide end-to-end supply chain solutions from warehousing to distribution, ensuring smooth operations at every stage. Product sourcing and procurement. The company excels in sourcing high-quality products at competitive prices. They leverage their global connections to procure goods that meet the stringent standards of their clients. Market analysis and consulting, understanding market trends is crucial for making informed decisions. They offer expert analysis and consulting services to help clients navigate complex global markets. We discussed drones in today's briefing. I, for one, had limited knowledge of them. However, interestingly, this drone technology or unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, or as they're also referred to, this technology was initially developed for military use. However, in recent times, they have entered mainstream use. And as drone technology advances, their potential uses are expanding at an unprecedented rate. Today, drones are used in various sectors, including agriculture. Farmers, for instance, use drones to monitor crop health, to assess soil conditions, and even apply fertilizers and pesticides. Equipped with advanced sensors, these drones can collect detailed data that helps optimize farming practices, leading to higher yields and more sustainable agriculture. Filmmaking and photography. Drones have revolutionized the way films and commercials are shot, offering aerial perspectives that were once only achievable with really expensive helicopter rentals, for instance. So with drones, filmmakers can capture stunning visuals at a fraction of the cost. Delivery services, companies like Amazon and UPS are exploring drone delivery systems, promising faster and more efficient delivery of goods. While regulatory hurdles still remain, the potential for drone delivery deliveries to transform logistics is enormous. Environmental conservation drones are being used to monitor wildlife, to track things like deforestation, and even plant trees in hard-to-reach areas. They provide a cost-effective and non-invasive way to gather data on ecosystems and implement conservation strategies, things like that. So thank you very much for your time, everyone. It's always a pleasure, and back over to you now, Maria.
Thanks, George. It's always nice to hear about some of the deals that you and your team are looking at. Hopefully, in the future, we'll be discussing some of these in our trade section of this briefing. So, as we've stated before, Pradect will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as these are what the world and the market is focusing on. Moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that July started off at a high 2,178. This was the highest point of the month. The index began to rapidly decrease as the month went on, reaching a low of 1,893 in the first 2 weeks. The index fluctuated during the middle of the month before steadily declining throughout the rest of July, ending at 1,697. We can see that this is higher than last month's Baltic Index, showing that the index is gradually increasing. The index was recorded at 1,762 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy, with factoring in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. Moving to global news, we see that the wages in the Eurozone rose at a significantly lower pace during the 3 months through June, paving the way for further cuts in borrowing costs by the European Central Bank. The ECB stated this month that growth in negotiated wages slowed to 3.55% in the second quarter from 4.74% 3 months earlier. There will be upside surprises to wage growth later in the year. Today's wage growth reading makes a September cut by 25 basis points even more likely. Looking to the UK, the British inflation rate has risen for the first time this year. A raise was widely predicted and is due to the prices of gas and electricity falling by less than they did a year before. Overall, prices rose by 2.2% in the year to July. This is slightly above the Bank of England's target of 2%, where the rate has been since May. The Bank of England expects inflation to go up to 2.7% in the coming months before falling again below 2% next year. Sterling also rose against the US dollar, reaching above 1.32. This is the highest it's been since March 2022. It also rose against the euro to over 1.18. Now moving to the US, the annual inflation rate dipped below 3% in July for the first time since 2021. The Federal Reserve still expects to cut interest rates in September. Interest rates have been at 5.25% to 5.5%, a two-decade high for more than a year now. It's still unclear whether the Federal Reserve can slow price increases without inciting a recession. The Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, stated at the Jackson Hole Conference that the bank was shifting to focus on the job market as it gains confidence that the U.S. was moving past the surging prices that started during the pandemic. Unemployment rate, however, rose to 4.3% in July, with economists expecting that any further increase will likely trigger a policy response. For the public, markets at large, and politicians, the unemployment rate offers the clearest picture of how well the labor market is holding up. This figure is doubly important now that the U.S. presidential election is in full swing. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 49.9 million euros with 57.55 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index has decreased slightly back to the norm at 68, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 13.8 million euros. All available ETR in the market is fully utilized. Credit control performance decreased slightly this month to 10.3 million euros. The exchange's performance again continues to jump ahead of all prior years by just over 25%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from Balfour Beatty, EKFB, and Hansen UK. Back in at the top of the list, which is similar to last month's briefing, is construction debtors Balfour Beatty and Skanska Costain. It has been over a year now with Balfour Beatty near the top, being the largest holding on the exchange. Hansen UK is also back near the top, with EKFB and Atradius moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show a wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, health, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors in our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with CBRE and Atradius representing this sector. Health and community was our second highest in performance this month, which is represented by the HSC in our large holdings for July. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month 7 in 2023, there was 84.1 million euro traded, compared to month 7 of this year, which has decreased by around 12% to 70.3 million euro traded for July. Volumes dropped slightly for this month as the value-to-volume ratio increased again. This is in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions decreased this month to 0.6 million euros, with the credit index decreasing back to the norm at 68. Finally, following the last briefing, our largest trade was a construction trade this month at 0.85 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started slightly higher than the previous months at just under 2.1%. It continued to climb throughout the month of July and reached its highest point at the middle of the month at 2.13%. It fluctuated in the latter half of the month to level off at 2.123% at the end of the month, with potential for August rates to ease and remain steady for the month. As you will all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 4.25%, fixed at 5% for 12 months, and term at 19% at the end of the 36th month. This section shows that demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and exchange-traded securities, which has been a topic with many of you and Patrick, it's predicted this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 49.3 million euros. And that concludes this month's briefing for July 2024. Thank you.